Firstly, I would just like to say that it's a blessing to be here and a blessing to be up here. Thank the Lord for laying the message upon my heart. And I was sure that it was from the Lord, because every message I've heard since it's been in my heart has related to it, and there's been something in it that's even up to the very point today where Mark was talking about the gospel armor. I'm actually referring to the gospel armor, so that's just the Lord making sure I'm not, I won't forget it.
Amen.
If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll be reading from verse 1. Now I, Paul myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in present am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. If you'd just like to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 now as well, this is part of it. I'm just reading one verse from here. Verse 12, sorry. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. I'm going to be speaking on, I've titled the message, Fight the Good Fight. I would just like to start by saying that there's one main choice that matters in this life, and it's whether you choose Christ or the devil. It determines where you will go in salvation, and I hope and trust that we all know this, and hope and trust and pray that we're all saved here today, and we are fighting for Christ. The people that choose Christ fight a constant war in this world, and as the Bible told us there, it's not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual war, and the lost go through life daydreaming. Most of them think they can work their way to heaven, but saying the least, they're making a lame attempt at it. If that's working your way to heaven, I don't know what working your way to hell is. For the Christian, it's a war that revolves around everything that we do for the Lord. Firstly, it's a war to get saved. It was or is a war. It's a war because the human nature doesn't like admitting that it's wrong and it needs help. And right. When the lost soul hears about salvation and what Christ can do for them, they start thinking about the things that they have to give up, and they start thinking of what they will have to. Oh, I have to go to church every Sunday. I'll have to turn off the TV. I'll have to read my Bible. Have to talk about that guy Christ, and all my friends will laugh at me. It's a war I like to fight. When the lost soul hears about it, it takes time to consider, and it questions a lot of things. But in considering it for a long time, it gives Satan more time to talk you out of it. And I guarantee within a couple of hours he will talk a lost soul out of it. And especially if we as Christians are there and we're trying to win the soul for Christ, and we don't know the answers to the question that they're asking us, then the devil uses that to his advantage. So that's why it's so important that we learn our verses and study our Bible. When the soul gets saved, it's a war to get rid of the old habits, get rid of the old filthy thoughts, the dirty words, the bad words, the immoral lifestyle. It's It's a worry to get rid of the company it used to keep. It's a fight to turn off the radio and the TV and the computer and get off your mobile phone, off the internet and your mobile phone, and just read a few chapters or spend a bit of time in prayer with God. It's a fight to get out of your bed for church.
It's
true. Especially on a Sunday morning. But when you're not in church, God needs you to be in church, because it could be that service that you miss, but He has that sermon lined up that could get you out of neutral.
That's
and
right.
get yourself on the gear as a Christian and start moving and growing. Yeah. I need you in church because I like fellowship, and we all gain strength from it. Meeting up with a brethren in a church, have you ever saw a boxing match? It's like, it's a rest from the fight. It's a time where you load up and get tactics and you spend time. It's a time out from the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same as prayer, and it's the same as time in God's word and just meditating and spiritually thinking and thinking of the things of God. And it prepares you to fight again for the devil. If you're feeling discouraged, I just pray and read and study and kick back at him, because he will take his time to kick at you. It's a fight to tithe and offer. But if God's first in your life and He is your Lord, it should get easier as time goes by and as you grow. When I first started coming back to the church here, I was coming once every Sunday morning. I wasn't really tithing, but as time went on, as I spent more money in the world and worshipped the things of the world and had churches outside here, and I started thinking of my buying habits, and the Lord dealt me with it, and He said, "How much do you love that thing? How much do you love me?" And I knew what He was getting at. He was saying, if you can spend that in things of the world, you can spend it in me. Because the Lord has needs in this world. The Lord's people have needs. The pastor and his wife, they need to have heat. They need the rent paid. They need the rent paid for here. And they need food. And most of their stuff goes to us. So we should take time to fulfill their needs and fulfill God's needs. God needs us to work. He needs us to fight. The lost souls out there need us to fight. And if we don't fight, who's going to fight? I fight for the young Christians coming up, because Satan will walk all over them. And he'll walk all over you too if you let him. It's a fight they witness their souls and they speak about Christ and Him crucified. The fight they tell Him that He loves them and that what He can do for them if they will but accept Him as their Savior. But I started wondering why it's such a fight. It's because the human nature is a fear of getting laughed at and a fear of what people think of them. Who cares what people think? How much more could we and would we do if we spent more time thinking about what God thinks about what we do, what He wants for us and what He wants us to do? What would you do? And the only way to find out is to start thinking like that. Start praying about what the Lord wants you to do for His will in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And go and do it when He calls.
Mm-hmm.
If you just got £1 million scot free for nothing, would you tell other people?
Mm-hmm.
Of course you would. And if I got it, I certainly would. I'd be telling Mickey Joe Average in the street and John Paul Public and... And if your salvation, if you don't count that more than £1 million, well, you have a lot of praying and studying to do. And £1 million in eternity, or even all the riches in the world in eternity, it's about as useful as a pair of shears to a baldy man. Yes, it did him some good in the past. It's no good to you right now. And if someone or any of us or anybody listening or anybody... well, here this in the future, thanks for £1 million or any money, in fact, to get them to heaven. Think again, because that's God's purpose. That money's printed on.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ died to get us into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The Bible tells us that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, and we'll all be familiar with that because it's the verses that we're learning in Revelation 20 and verse 15. And we need to tell people how easy it is to get your name written in that book of life. If we don't tell them, they won't know. And the devil sees his time short. He's working overtime. But you know what? Our time is less than we have less time in this earth than the devil has. Because when we go in the rapture, the Antichrist will still be here deceiving people. We need to fight, and we need to fight now. And I don't mean get out and knock the head out of Mickey Joe or start punching people and telling them you need to get saved. That's not the way the Lord wants us to do it. The Lord gives us many examples how to approach people in His Bible, and He gives us the words to say when we need them. All things to serve Christ, it's a constant fight and a war. The Bible tells us that. But the Bible also tells us we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. If fear in our lives has that much a hold upon us, or anything, any other thing for that matter, that is becoming a burden upon us, the Bible also tells us to cast it upon the Lord, because He will take it, because He careth for you. I heard Mark actually say that he heard a preacher say that if you're any less a Christian today than you were yesterday, you're a backslider. But if you do backslide, if you are slidden, I've been there, and it's not a nice place. And I certainly don't want that for anyone here or for any Christian in this world, but just remember that Jesus loves you. He will accept you back with open arms. In the Bible, John 10, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. It doesn't say he's greater than the pit that the devil has you in. He's greater than it says he's greater than all. And that means whatever caused you, or whatever thought provoked you to backslide, deed, word, action, whatever, is greater than it, and He will take you back. Again, I'm going to refer you here to a boxing match and a war film. Have you ever seen the protection that they get when they are fighting and they're battling? Professional boxers get a gum shield, and that's about it. And soldiers get a helmet. That's not much protection, but I want to tell you, when you choose to fight for God, I want to take you through the protection that you get. Firstly, once you choose Christ as your Savior, you have your soul in the palm of your hand. No man's able to put you out. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 again, if you're already there, happy days. We'll be reading from verse 10 onwards. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Firstly, I would like to ask you a question. What good is a sword if you don't know how to use it? We should always walk in the truth. Even if it hurts someone, they tell them the truth. We should always tell it, because if you go out there to witness, and you try to tell them about Jesus Christ and you've lied to them before, they're going to call you a liar. And
that's right.
Jesus finished work on the cross, it's not a lie.
That's right.
Psalms 37 and verse 4 tells us, if we delight ourselves in, also in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart. Always walk uprightly, and you will receive the breastplate of righteousness. When you get saved, you get the helmet of salvation. With the Lord and His Word, every part of your body gets protected so that you can keep the world, the flesh and the devil from you. You plus God equals the majority. See, if God be for us, who can be against us? With the shield of faith, start small, because we choose to take small steps in the Christian life. But as you grow and as you walk with God and you trust Him more and you start serving and fighting for Him more, fighting for the brethren and fighting persecution and the devil and everything that comes against you, grows bigger, and the more darts it will suck in. And Mark also referred to that in this morning's message, and that was part. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, will sharpen as you study and memorize. You will learn to use it as you trust in the Lord and you commit more of His Word to your heart. And it will help kill the old nature, not only in you and all our souls, it will help guide them to Christ. And a wee thought, do you ever see pirates? When they hold the sword at people and they walk them along a plank, that's not what the sword's for. No matter what you do as a Christian, people's going to talk about you and laugh at you. And for example, there, you were out of town yesterday. If you claim to be a Christian and your friends are up the town or the people you be with in school or at work, and they see you there, they're going to talk about you behind your back. They're going to say, do you see that Bible basher brainwashed up the town preaching and handing out gospel tracts? And if you're not there, they're going to talk about you behind your back and they'll laugh at you and they'll say, that boy Christy claims to be a Christian. I saw them up the town and he wasn't there. I would rather be flagged, if you like, for being the Christian that serves the Lord and is always there. Let so your light shine before men. In closing here now, I'm going to refer to two songs as a challenge. But firstly, I want to just tell you some of the things that Jesus does for us and some of the battles that He's fighting for us. When the devil points the finger, when we give him that opportunity to point the finger, Jesus leans over and says, I paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
He's washed in my blood.
That's right.
It gives us the comforter, so then people talk, they don't matter, who cares about them?
Mm-hmm.
You know what, if we don't tell them, they'll be the first ones to point the finger and finger in eternity. He never told me, and he was a Christian all that time, and I never once saw him out. If I had saw him, Lord, I would have became a Christian, I would have got saved, I would have been in them gates. Do you know what? The Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you. He loves us, and as Mark heard a lady say, was it, He loves you that much that He can't take His eyes off you.
Mm-hmm.
He'll direct your path throughout life, no matter which way you take, but I hope and pray that you ask the Lord before you take a path in life.
Mm-hmm.
How often does He forgive us?
Mm-hmm.
He strengthens us. He gives us encouragement. We have the peace that passeth all understanding. the lusts never end them, what Jesus does for us. And again, I'm referring to Romans 8 and 31 here. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm going to leave you with a challenge and a dare. I challenge you to take a stand for Jesus before you stand in front of the throne, in front of Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I dare you, every one of you, to be a Daniel. I dare you to stand alone. And I dare you to make that purpose that God gave you, make it known. I'd just like to thank you for your time and attention, and hope and pray that the message was a help to you. And just fight a good fight.
Amen.
Amen.